Or at least when I speak, not for Steve, just when I go. So I don't know if you all know this, but actually Steve's mom died just a few days ago. I think it was maybe Thursday morning. And so the funeral's tomorrow. And so we happened to be out there, you know, visiting. They were taking care of her house, getting it, they were going to sell it and things like that. And they even had pictures, you know, on Facebook of their first days together, because they were out traveling, or not traveling, but they were out, they had some pictures together. And so so it was nice, they got those final pictures together, and he said that she seemed to know who he was for a little bit before she died, and that was kind of, you know, a big deal for him. So so anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. Why don't we open with a word of prayer? Dear Lord, we just we thank you that Steve's mom indeed has a place, not just to go, but a big, big step up, Lord. She is with you, and all her troubles are behind her, Lord. We're just so thankful for that. We just pray for Steve, and I know he's doing well. I know that he trusts that she's with you. But we just ask for his comfort. In your name, amen. So, actually talking about Steve's mom is kind of interesting, because I think it's really pertains well to what I want to talk about. You know, truly, I don't think Steve is feeling that, you know, that sad. I mean, he lost his mom, but I really think he's a strong, strong believer, as I am, that she's not just in a better place, but that she's like relating to God face to face. Can you imagine that? Like no longer just in prayer and no longer a spiritual connection, but like a face-to-face connection. And so Paul, his prayer for the body of Christ in Ephesians really was about this whole relationship with God. And I believe that this relationship with God is what really creation is all about. God wants us to trust him, to love him, to know that he loves us. That's the whole point of us being here, is to seek him and to seek a relationship with him, to trust that he really, 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 really loves us, and to love him in return. In Ephesians 3, 16 to 19, Paul, this is Paul's prayer, and the book of Ephesians was written to the church in Ephesus, but it was also a letter that he asks to circulate, so we know that this is for all the body of Christ. He says, I pray that according to the wealth of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner person. So the first thing Paul's doing, he's praying that God will give the power. So the first part there is really God's section. He's praying to God that they will have this power through the Spirit. And here's what he's asking for, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, and this is really our part, is through faith. We have to have faith for Christ. Now, he's not just talking about a relationship like salvation. He's talking about dwelling on Christ through faith, that he's in our minds, that we believe that he's real, that we trust his love for us, that we get some kind of grip on the fact that he humbly came to earth to love us through the sacrifice on the cross. And that's the kind of faith that he's talking about, that we're dwelling on that we get it, that it's in our hearts. So that, because you have been rooted and grounded in love, so when we come to the faith, we learn about love. We learn to love other people. We learn about God's love. And so he's saying that because you've been rooted and grounded in love, you learn about love, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and thus to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. So Paul's prayer is that we would really, really just get it. That we would understand how much God really, really loves us. So that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And I believe that the fullness of God here means that if we really, really get it, if in our hearts we trust so deeply that God absolutely knows me, loves me, plans to be with me for eternity, that that provides in my heart a fullness that gives me a perception of life that cannot be attained in any other way, but to have that complete trust in God, which happens, of course, through His Spirit, as He said in the beginning. So through His Spirit, my faith, I gain the fullness as I understand how much God truly loves me. So when you think about that, when you really get it, how could it be any better than that? I mean, it can't. I don't know why I don't get it either, so I'm not pointing at you. Why we just don't, I mean, this is so, so huge that this life is not ending with, you know, whether or not we get the new car, whether or not we can pay the mortgage, whether or not our health keeps up, you know, because it eventually most of those things won't work out for us. But this, that's why this is, so, how could it be any better that we are loved by the creator of the universe? And we are going to have an eternal relationship with our Creator. How can it get any better than that? And yet, somehow we don't get that, right? We just, you're hearing me say it, and it's kind of like it's coming in probably, if you're like, you know, most of us, it comes in intellectually. Yes, I know that's true. I know that's true. And I, you know, I'll have to give like all these illustrations to try to make you feel it, because it just seems to stop right there. We sort of know it's true. We think it might be true. We hope it's true. But so the question is, why don't we experience the fullness of God more often? And I really think that verse hit it. So I guess I want to go back to it, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It is not enough that we just come here and say, I believe that it's true. Okay, that's true. That will not provide the kind of depth that we're talking about. Faith is something where you're completely at a point where you can let go of all of your other constraints. That your trust in God's love is so great that you just believe. I mean, believe. Not just think it's true. Not just agree, but truly, truly believe. So what gets in the way of that happening? I think it's temptations. I think it's the idea that, you know, I trust God, kind of, but I get pulled away because of other temptations. And so I kind of like to think of it as this relationship with God. And you know, when I look to God, I look up usually. I just seems like He's up, right? And I like to think of Him kind of like a light, that He's this light that's coming down on me, and that I have this relationship with Him. And to the degree that I'm focused on Him, and I believe in Him, that I trust in Him, that I know that He's real, that I believe that He's loving me, that I love Him back, I'm committed to Him, that I'm standing right under the light of His love, that it's like, that it's just that I'm with Him. And I believe that's where Christ would be, that He would be in this position where He's just smack under God and living in trust and faith that He is a God who loves Him. But temptations get in our way from this relationship right here. See, temptations are things that instead of us looking up there and trusting, we begin to look out here or in there. And, you know, James 1:14 says, but each one is tempted when he's lured and enticed. And that's actually fishing terminology. You lure and you entice the fish to bite on the bait. And they always get hooked, of course. And that's how sin is you get hooked. You don't realize what you're biting into. And we have this opportunity to relate to God, and how could it be any better than this? But these temptations are out there that look so good. Romans 14:23 says, anything that's not of faith is sin. That means anything that's not in this direct relationship to God in our life, that's pulling us away, anything is actually a sin. So often we think sin is all the bad stuff. You know, we can name, you know, as long as you don't do this, you're not sinning. No. Sin is anything outside of this relationship, anything where this relationship gets somehow blocked, and instead of trusting God, I move away from God and pursue anything in life. And obviously the things that we know are sin are going to be out here, but it could be things such as my career, which we don't normally think of a career as bad, and it's not necessarily bad unless it's getting in the way of this relationship. Unless pursuing the career becomes more important, see, and I do that instead of, that I replace this relationship with God with a pursuit of a career, or a pursuit of my vacation, a pursuit, you name it, in life. It could be the pursuit of even my marriage, believe it or not. If I decide that pursuing my marriage is more important instead of in line with, but that actually takes the place of, then that is actually a sin. Because anything, not of faith, is sin. And what's interesting about this, when you think about it, sometimes, again, we think of sin as just the bad stuff. If God is like the light, and when we're in the light, and we're directly above it, if you look around me, I would have no shadow. When I'm directly in God's light, I have no shadow at all. But as I begin to pursue other interests in life, I begin to get a shadow. And I think that shadow for me just kind of represents sin. And so whenever we see sin in our life, we can realize, wait a minute, I must be moving away from God because I'm casting a shadow. So anything in life, and sometimes we want to solve our sin out here. We want to say, oh, I'm you know, whatever my problem is, I'm drinking too much, and so I need to stop drinking. Well, stopping drinking might be fine, but what's the real issue? The real issue is your relationship with God. That's the real issue. And the symptom is this. To get rid of the symptom, which is sin, is the symptom, move back to the light. So often we find ourselves trying to cover up our problem. And in fact, usually if we solve the problem without going back to the light, we usually just went over here and created a new sin, a different sin. You know? I don't drink anymore. I use drugs, you know. Well, you know what I'm saying. We just move around because God's issue is what? His issue is, I created you to have a relationship with you. That's the whole point. And sin is anytime you move away from that. That is what sin is in any kind of way in your life. So when we see sin in our life, instead of worrying about the sin so much, move back to God. Let that be, you know, let it be Satan's problem that he shows us sin. I kind of got that in my mind one time. I said, you know, when I sin, I'm going to use that against you, Satan, because often we sin and we let it bum us out and cause us to hide further from God. And so instead of doing that, say, you know, when I sin, I'm just going to like put it in your face and say, oh, I'm sinning. Now I know, it reminds me, I need to get back to my relationship with God. So anytime you see sin in your life, instead of focusing on solving the sin, focus on the real issue. The real issue of that sin is that your relationship with God is not where it needs to be. Go back to the light. Go back to your relationship with God. When you see those things in your life, when you see sin, realize that they're lies, that they are temptations, and that they are not what life is about. This is what life is about. Anything you see in your life that's pulling you away from God, and it seems like that's what life is about, call it a lie. Just say it out loud. If you're driving on the street and you see a sign that pulls you into some thinking that's away from God, stop, say, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. I'm not going to believe it. That's a lie. And furthermore, that reminds me that I should be moving. I'm going to move back and I'm going to get in relationship with God. I'm going to move in that direction. Let your sin turn you around instead of letting it suck you into things that just pull you further away from God. So whenever you see, you know, I should have put this up a minute ago, huh? Whenever you see your shadow, go back to the light. So I want to show you a skit, and it's called a Lifehouse skit. It was a group, a church, I think it was a Lifehouse, and they first put it on, and then a group here put it on at a secular nightclub called the Carnival nightclub in Los Angeles. So you'll see Carnival on the back. Don't let that throw you off. That's just the name of the nightclub, okay? But anyway, in this skit, there's a girl who's the main person, and she begins life, and God kind of shows her what life is about, and then she gets sucked in to multiple temptations that most of us will relate to and understand the pull. And eventually she understands the beauty of God, and that's what I want us to get out of this is just the beauty of our relationship that we can have with God.
Stay there, man.
I get so happy every time I watch that video. It just, she won. She won. All of those temptations that we think cannot be overcome, in Christ, with our trust in Jesus Christ, they are just, it's trust. It's that relationship with God. That's the whole key is trusting in God. When she put her trust in God, it's like they're just held back. Those things that all of those hopes and dreams that we put in this world, once we realize that no, those are lies, and we trust in Jesus Christ, they are just knocked down on the floor. We can have victory. We talk about victory in Christ. That's victory in Christ. It's to acknowledge that Jesus Christ loves me. All of my hope forever and ever, as well as right here, it begins now. I can have a relationship with Him. I may not see Him until I die, but I can have a relationship where I trust Him with my all, where I know that He is my God, where I love You, and first, You love me, and because of that, I can love You. We can have that now. Why don't we close in a word of prayer? Dear Father, I just ask that You help us to get it. That we would spend time nurturing our hearts on the truth of Your love. That we would daily just repeat it, that we would do anything that we need to do to not allow all of the stupid things the world says about hope in this life, and that we just get it, that it's all temporary. Anything they have to offer, it's temporary, and it's not the kind of love that you offer. You're offering love beyond comprehension, beyond anything that we could ever imagine. And we can have it, Lord. We have it, actually. If we're believers, we already have it. And help us to trust that love, Lord. Help us to trust. And if there's anybody out there that doesn't know Jesus Christ already, I just beg you, you can have that love now. And you can know that you will have an eternal relationship with him. Take time and pray to him and just say, Jesus, I want to have a relationship with you. I trust in you. I know you love me. You came and died for me. That's all you got to do. Trust him in your heart. In your name. Amen.